Now, final call out for our competition. We have a copy of the book to give away, The Dodger, DJ Carey and the Great Betrayal by Eamonn Eve Raynon. Just text in the word criminal, text in the word criminal, and we'll announce that winner in the next 15 minutes. Okay, lots of people have texted in already. The author is on the line now, I'm delighted to say. Eamonn Eve Raynon, good morning, Eamonn.
Good morning, Damien. Gormagats.
Thank you
very much. How is all?
Good, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well done on the publicity and all this so far, and well done on the book. It has been a massive amount of work that you've put in, I know. And we have, obviously, the sentencing taking place later on today. We won't have time to go through all the different testimonies, Eamonn, but looking back on it now, and just thinking about what you've done and thinking about what's in the book, what's your overall take on this?
My overall take, Damien, is that it's a really sad story. And I know sometimes people think, you know, things are cut and dry, they're black and white. They're not. And you'll know this from your many years of experience in the media. It's in the detail important. And we're in a world now where everything's very quick and everything's done and dusted online so quickly. And it just goes to show you have to really talk to people on the ground, figure out what's going on and take your time with something. DJ Carey was a national icon. There is no doubt about that. He was a huge superstar. When I was a young one growing up in Carlow, I was looking across the border at him in Kilkenny thinking, wow, you know, he had this DJ factor about him, like the X Factor. Everybody knew his name. He didn't need a surname. He was also down to earth. He was lovely. He was accessible. He talked to all of us. He was with you many times on RT News. He talked to me for the Irish Independent. A darling, really, of the media and everywhere else. He was at the height of his fame at the Celtic Tiger time, and we knew him for his 5 All-Irelands, his All-Star Awards. And that is what makes this all the more difficult to process, and especially the nature of the medical deception that we now know he's guilty of. He didn't just target random people. He targeted the people who adored him, the people who knew him, the people close to him, and he took advantage of their generosity and their kindness.
Do you think he planned to do this, or was it something that developed because of experiences he had in terms of looking at and meeting people that have had cancer? A number of articles over the weekend, a number of serialisations from your book as well. The indications that he kind of just fell into this, or what's your feeling on that?
The feeling is there was no end game here, Damien, that these acts... Some were in desperation, but also, not to take away from the meticulous planning that went into this fraud, he executed the way he did on the hurling field with precision. He observed, he watched and he waited. He travelled around the southeast of Ireland and elsewhere. Obviously, my contacts are in Carlow, Kilkenny mostly, some in Waterford, some in Wexford, some in Offaly. I would have concentrated on that area more so, but also I met people from Northern Ireland and elsewhere, all who said the same. Different versions of the same story, patterns emerged. He was going into premises. He was ordering pots of tea. He was saying howie to whoever he'd see coming in. And he had a price on their heads. He attacked this as if he was a dedicated salesperson. And some of the details, and they are in the book. You have to put the facts out there and let people decide. But this... To answer your question, I don't know. He'd have to tell you what was going on himself. Some of the hallmarks are desperate, but some also would suggest that this didn't happen overnight. Like the first mention of the word cancer in DJ Carey was in the Sunday Times that I could find in 2003. So it goes way back. There was a rumour back then that he was suffering from the illness.
It's a really, really brilliant book. I read it over the weekend. Like on page 153, you talk about not everybody knew that DJ was faking cancer, but many close to him thought he had credibility issues and weren't sure about his health claims. It may seem strange, but some GA people who knew DJ never took what he said seriously, and they would laugh and joke about some of the claims he made without realising the damage he was doing. It's interesting that we haven't had a statement from the GAA yet. They may wait until after today's sentencing. They may not issue a statement because, in a way, it's nothing to do with them. But could he have been stopped, do you think, at an earlier stage?
Yes, I do. I think he could have been stopped earlier.
How?
It's a very, very difficult thing to stop somebody in their tracks when they're talking about an illness because of the doctor-patient confidentiality. But there are other ways of looking into this when serious question marks were raised. There's a story in the book, just one story I'll give you, right? But there's plenty more that will lead your listeners to unravel some of this themselves. But in 2013, DJ attended a meeting in the Croke Park Hotel with some officials that were involved in the Asian Games. I've spoken to the person that he spoke to. He was the...
Sorry, you're just dropping out a little bit there, Eimear. Just say that again.
And I was basically... Now, they were... They thought it was the great Kilkenny hurler. They hadn't heard he was sick. And it wasn't up to them now, by the way, to pursue DJ Carey. But this is an example of how many people knew, but yet nobody said, hang on a second, what's this fella at? There were question marks when he contacted benevolent funds. There were times his story didn't add up. And nobody senior ever at any stage that I'm aware of in the GAA contacted the Gardaí about this.